Morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord this morning in prayer? We'll ask Brother Eric if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you, O Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be in thy presence this morning.
Yes.
Knowing that it is a privilege and we don't want to take it for granted. Father, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we bow our heads before thee, please forgive us of all our sins, our transgressions, and iniquities. And may the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who died at the cross for us, cleanse our sins and purify us before thy presence.
Yes.
Father, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, we know that you said, man shall not eat bread alone, but shall be fed by every word that comes out of your mouth. Please feed us of thy word this morning. And Father, please use thy servant to teach us thy way, to help us, to guide us in everything that pleases you. In Jesus Christ's name, we give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Exodus 12, if you would, if we can turn there. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, if we can start there, just read a couple verses. Exodus 12, verse 12, the scripture reads, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Amen. Amen. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So we're going to delve further into this message of token in there's several areas that I feel on my heart to hit, but we'll see how it goes this morning. Just to reiterate about the token, we know that Brother Branham emphasizes this token, and it's the only thing that he'll recognize. And in the message, he says that it is the Holy Ghost. Right? Are we all together on that? So when he sees the Holy Ghost, he will pass over. And I just want to help elaborate a little bit by God's grace about that so that we are understanding the more in depth about what God is showing us through that and not to gloss over the details a little bit. So I'm going to read a few quotes here and I trust that it will sink into our hearts, and I don't want to rush, but at the same time, there's a lot of different ground that I feel to cover. So in the message, the token, he says, "And the Holy Ghost is our identification. It's what identifies us as Christians, not our membership in churches, not our understanding of the Bible, not how much you know about the Bible. It's how much you know about the author." See? How much the author is living in you. It's your self gone. You're no more. You recognize yourself dead, and the token is what lives in you. And it's not your life, it's him. So now he brings a contrast about how people can assume things about the life with Christ that, you know, it's not a membership, not understanding even of the Bible, how much you know about the Bible. So it's not knowledge. So I'm just saying human nature will get you to read the scriptures and listen to the message in a way that you want to know. Do you understand? There's a balance, because in the stature of a perfect man, we have to have knowledge, right? And knowledge, as Brother Branham says, is knowing right from wrong. And Many times it's the motive and objective by which we're pursuing something. And so what is the reason why we're trying to accomplish that? So we're trying to know more, we're trying to understand more. Is it more to know Him and so I can be closer to Him? Because if that's it, then God will open Himself up to us and reveal that so that we are able to judge between right and wrong, right? But then if the motivation is there to know more so that I can, and it's very subtle, that I know more. So, you know, people take knowledge as power, and so that you have some type of power above somebody else. And it's very subtle. It can be very subtle. So we have to be careful, and that's why we have to stay close to Him, because when the Spirit of God is there, it brings humbleness, gentleness, and it brings us down to where we need to be. Because if without the Spirit of God there, then we tend to go in this direction where we get puffed up. Are we together there? So he says, it's how much you know about the author, how much the author is living in you. So it's all about Christ, knowing Him, the person of Christ. And the person of Christ is the revelation of Christ. And I don't want you to mix up the Word and Christ. For example, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And so when you peel back that word he's talking about, he says the Logos. And the Logos is the very mind and thought of God, right? And so when you look further in John chapter 1, he says, Jesus, well, let's turn there because I want to make sure I get this straight. John chapter 1, verse 16, he says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So there was a law, a word that was judgmental, but it showed the righteousness of God through the law. But through Jesus Christ, he brought more to that, and he brought the grace, right? And that grace is the only thing that's going to keep us. You know, we want to live a holy life, but the only thing that's going to keep us is the grace of God. And so we have to humble ourselves in order for us to take a part of that grace. Do you understand that? And so the key to that access of grace is the humbleness that we approach God with, that we are nothing, and that we totally need Him. So he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So in the beginning was a word, the Logos, the very nature of God. And the Word was with God. So you take that word, Word, and it's Logos was with God. The Word was God. The Logos, or the very mind and thought and heart of God, is what he's talking about there. So there's a difference between that Word that he's talking about, because that includes the mind and thinking of God. And so when we think about that, that is actually the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because what he's taken is this letter. Because Paul says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so these letters on the book that you see here, they're just letters. But it takes the Spirit of God, the mind of God, to bring that to life. And so it becomes a reality. It becomes a revelation for us. And so when we say the Word and Christ, in that sense of the Word, then it is the same thing. But when you're talking about letters, it's different. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? And so when you see people make the difference between the Word and Christ, then you have to understand what's being said there. Because this Word that's talked about in John chapter 1, verse 1, is the same thing as Christ. So we want to make sure that we don't get that mixed up. So when he says the word, capital W, all right, referring to the logos, then and the token, they're one and the same. Do you understand? Okay. Are we? Okay. Amen. How much the author is living in you, it's yourself gone. You're no more. You reckon yourself dead, and the token is what lives in you, and it's not your life, it's him. So the whole objective that God is trying to do is to take away this flesh controlling anything, and you're totally submitted to Christ. You don't even see yourself. There's no thought, there's no part of you at all. It's only Christ. And so as we spoke of maybe last lesson or on Wednesday, but you see, when you are born again and God makes you a new creature and you're a son of God, you're born of the Spirit of God, your inside is totally changed out, your nature inside, your desire inside is your old one is burned up, and now God places a new one inside of you. Do you understand? And so when you receive that new birth and born again, then now you are ready to mature as a son of God. And he's going to teach you and train you. And that's where we talked about how the ministry comes in. As far as, remember Ephesians chapter 4, it's teaching us. And so that, you know, when you're under a ministry, there's you're able to mature. You yourselves know the reality of that, I believe. If you've been under a God-called ministry, which I believe there is here, and you're under that, and God begins to speak and to work things on your life to bring you to obedience to his word. Do you understand? He identifies little things in your life that need to be changed, need to be confessed and things. And Brother Bram says that's cleaning the church, right? But he's bringing you to maturity. So you're bringing to brought to the consciousness of where I'm at and where I'm falling short. And so the grace of God comes through that to be able to give you an opportunity. That's the grace of God, actually. When the truth of God comes to you, when you're ignorant of it and he brings it to light, now he's giving you mercy, opportunity. Now, to reject that, of course, means judgment. But that mercy brought to you by that word, if you accept it, you're accepting the grace of God. Because that was given to you without you deserving it, you asking for it, you calling for it, and God just gave it to you. Amen. And so he's bringing us through those stages of perfection. And so when you look at it, then God is actually maturing you and helping you have more faith. He's allowing you to have more power in your life as a Christian. You know, that's virtue. And then he's adding more patience to your life. You know, godliness, temperance, and different things. And temperance is having self-control. Controlling your thoughts. Controlling your mouth. Controlling your actions. Bringing that subject. And you're not controlled by the outside world. You're not controlled by what your neighbor says to you. You're not controlled by maybe what your... the people very close to you, they know how to push your buttons, right? They do. The people closest to us can push our buttons, but, you know, those things will not affect you when you are mature and you've reached that level of temperament. And so then there's other parts, you know, there's godliness as being like Christ. And there's brotherly kindness is loving your brother and putting yourself in your brother's shoes and forgiving your brother 70 times 7 and different things like that. But, you know, as he's bringing these things into you, he's maturing you, and he's the Holy Ghost is like the mortar that's putting these things together, if you understand. And, you know, God was helping me able to see something here, because, you know, the ministry, they bring this message, actually, right? It's just bringing it in a way that it's kind of tailor-made for you. But it's the same message that Brother Branham preached. And so that ministry is channeling that. But so you see that there was a, you know, that the church age book, it was called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, right? And so, and you look in the book of Revelations and it says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so now he was showing us through Revelations chapter 1 through 3, that revelation of Jesus Christ opening himself to the churches, right? And if you can see on through those church ages, then it was showing, if you put it all together, it's showing the entire image of Christ. Because he was showing that he was building a bride through seven church ages, boom, 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 right? Up to the seventh one. And so when that seventh one reaches the maturity that she needs of that last portion, then God caps off that bride with the Holy Ghost, which is love. And he does the same thing with the individual, he says. In the message, he says he adds faith and virtue and all these different things. And he, when she reaches that brotherly kindness and all these other virtues are in her, he cements her with the Holy Ghost, and then he seals her with that Holy Ghost, just like the bride writ large, seals her with that Holy Ghost with love. And that love is Christ. Amen. And so now she is a complete package, and now she is in the very image of Christ. And now she is able to do the works of Christ, just like he did when he was on this earth. So she's got to come to that maturity. And so she's got to go through each of those stages. So you've got to become a full stature of a perfect man with the sealing of Christ. And then you are actually walking out into the ministry that God had called you to. Do you understand? Now you're ready because you're fully mature, and now you're definitely expressing Jesus Christ. And each one of us that are a part of that bride have a part of that ministry. Amen. That you are to display Christ in a way that others will be able to see, and you'll do in the very works. So I'm talking about as a bride together, the very works that Jesus did will be done. And you know that Brother Branham even said, you know, it says, the works that I do shall you do also, but greater. And when you look, and Brother Branham even makes this statement, God did more in Jeffersonville than he did the entire time in Nazareth. And you're like, that's a bold statement, but he said, God did, right? It wasn't him. He said, the only way God could do it is if he stepped aside. And so God is doing these these things that he's molding into by the tutoring process, because all these teachers that you have, the, you know, the fivefold ministry and the teaching that are through those angels. When I say angels, what am I talking about? The angels that are talking about in Revelation chapter 1 through 3. And so there are seven messengers, right? And so he did not say just focus on the Laodicean age. He said all these, right? And so each of those messengers were a voice of God. And so you needed all seven voices to have the rapturing faith that you need to go out of this world. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I believe, this is what I'm seeing, you know, and you know, I'm not saying, you know, that's exactly what he's saying, but you can see those seven thunders that he was talking about in Revelation chapter 10 were the voice of God. Each one of those were the voice of God. And so those seven, he says, rapturing faith is in those thunders. And so what is it, is a revelation of Jesus Christ that he's given in this age? Are we all together? Amen. Amen. So he says this in the token, oh, what a positive token. There cannot be any more token. Oh my, if you could only catch the thought of it. If I had the power this morning with words to express and place into your soul that's on the end, not your ears, but your soul, and you could see the guarantee of it. It makes you so relaxed. If you can see the guarantee of it, if you can know of a doubt, of a surety that you're in, you're secure, it will make you so relaxed. Amen. So you take that back to what he says in the seals. He said, in those that half hour of silence, it is a relaxing time. Why? Because you're in Christ, you're secure in Christ. There's no doubt, there's no more. What he's trying to do in these churches, or this process of maturing process, this tutoring process, is take out that fear. Take out that doubt. Take out you. You see, when you got transformed in your heart, he transformed and made, put himself in your heart, right? But that he wants more than that. He wants to take complete control of every fiber of your being. So that's what the ministry is for. That's what those... that tutoring process is for, is to bring you to complete obedience. Amen. Not just your heart, but your spirit and your body. Totally subject to Christ. So if you could see the guarantee of it, it makes you so relaxed. I'm going to jump to something here and address this. So... Are we all together that the token is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do we understand that? I'm going to solidify that here. In blasphemous names, he says the same thing in Stature of a Perfect Man, but he says this, many of our brethren, even in our full gospel ranks, they do not believe the Baptists and Methodists and the Lutheran and them have a chance, but now they may be right, but I don't agree with that. I believe that the age here of the Lutheran age, in this age here, which is called, I believe, the Sardis age, and then the Philadelphian age for the Methodists, and then the Pentecostal Laodicean age, I believe those are ages, and God in each one of those ages took an elected people. We believe that, right? So in the Lutheran, even though they only believe justification by faith, there was a bride in there, right? Because that's all they knew, right? And so you cannot rest on that. You cannot rest in the next stage. You cannot rest in the other age before it. See, that's why we have to continue on moving with the light. And so if you stayed and you know, there are doctrines preached before the seals. And so you believe those things of how the message was taught in the Holy Ghost and the born-again experience, but you've got to move on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because he's bringing us to the perfected message, or perfecting, or the very image of Christ. And so when we move on further, we've got to move on with that light. So he says, and then the Pentecostal, Laodicean age, I believe those are ages. So if you stay in Laodicea and don't move on to Christ, then you will... you're not moving with that, and then you're left in the glare of another age. And it's actually, if you reject what's coming up, then you're in darkness. Do you understand? So any stage when you're moving into the very part of Christ in that chamber and you refuse it, whatever stage you're in, if you're in the Laodicean doctrine, the Pentecostal doctrine, and then you come up close to Christ and you reject it, you say that's just too much, then you fall off and you go into darkness, just like Judas did. Just like the people at Kadesh Barnea did. So only those who are, well, everything, just no matter what it is, it's what I love, what I want, what I desire, and I want to be a part of it. Those are the only ones that are going to go there. Those are the only ones that are going to go on to the Holy Ghost, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Hebrews 11 says that them without us is not made perfect. See, but now the church has come from this coming in a minority all the time till it's down into the Pentecostal age. And so he talks about this sister that she had a dream. And she dreamed and she was struggling because... she says, what's the use of going on and trying to struggle through life if God requires us to receive the Holy Ghost and we don't have it? And that's the essential question of a Christian. Do I have the Holy Ghost? You must know for a surety. You must not be deceived by the devil. Now, I believe that the reason that there is so much confusion today about the Holy Spirit is not correctly taught. I believe that the baptism is taught and just say baptism. And when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a lot goes with that. Amen. You have to understand the depth of what he's talking about. There's a lot that goes with it. Now he says, now Peter said, so after he says there's a lot goes with it, then he moves on to this. He says, now Peter said first, faith. Now watch it real close. We're going to teach this for a few minutes. Faith now is your first, and add to your faith virtue. To your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, to your patience godliness, to your godliness brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and then love. And anyone knows that God is love. God is love. Amen. Now this into the seven church ages, God is building in seven church ages a bride for Christ through the Philadelphian, Thyatirian, and Pergamos, and Smyrna, and Ephesus, a church age that Jesus said, if the bridegroom come in the first watch or the seventh watch, all these virgins awaken. So God has a bride in each of those levels, right? And he's awakening that bride. They awoke the virgins of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Did you notice that? It was the seventh age that when he came and woke up those sleeping virgins. I believe that was the bridegroom's voice that came in this hour. The opening of the seals, I believe. He says, that brings them all the way back down to here. See, for in this, through the years, ages, he has built a bride, born a bride, begotten a bride on earth for Christ. And the same way that he begets this bride, he has begot individuals. Now, our sister Drenau, she was worried whether she had the Holy Ghost or not when she laid down the duofold where her husband was reading the paper. Lord, have I got the Holy Ghost? Can you prove to me? And so she says that she had this dream a while back, but when Brother Branham taught on the stature of a perfect man, all this dream that she had came back to her. And so the dream, I'll just say it in summary, and you can listen to it. It's on the first half of Blasphemous Names in 1962, but she has a dream about a mountain. And then there was a rock box on top of the mountain. And there was water, clear water, that was flowing down the mountain. And it was very, very clean and clear water. And Brother Branham says, though that water that was streaming down the mountain, it was moving the trash out of the mountain. It was pushing it out. And he says, though that water was the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now that rock at the top, he said that rock of confession was a revelation of Jesus Christ. So we know that that is Christ on top of the mountain. We know that there's several dreams about it, Junior Jackson's dream, that speak of that as well. And so that is on the top of the mountain. So now he brings that back to what he's preaching here. And he says, of course, he says, that's not water, that's the Holy Ghost. And then he says this, so therefore the rock, this Latter-day Pentecostal church, which has received the Holy Spirit, they did at the first, all down through the ages, they received the Holy Spirit. So in Ephesus, they received the Holy Spirit. In Smyrna, they received the Holy Spirit. Even in Luther's day, even though they baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost sprinkling, they had the Holy Ghost. But you see, that's all the light that they had. So you've got to move on past that. If God is showing you something now, through the message of the hour, you've got to receive it. Amen. You've got to receive it. Whatever is the latest revelation that God is trying to get to, you've got to take it. Amen. All down through the ages, they receive the Holy Spirit, but not in the measure that we have it now. We have it in a different measure. Because it's the restoration of the first. Now, I'm going to get here quick and then I have to move on to something else. He says, so he says here that, if you'll bear with me here for a second. This has to be first. He says, the Holy Ghost. And when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly love, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit. The same as he seals the church ages as a unit. The way he makes his bride is the way he makes his individual made out of same material, right? Just like Adam and Eve, same material. Here is the things that you have to have first. You can't impersonate them. You can't imitate them. They've got to be God-sent and God-born. I'm going to skip here and just, if you can just let this thought ponder and then go back to the message and listen to it and study it if you want to let it solidify in your heart here. He says, but the five streams you see coming down through here tempers this together. It has been the Holy Spirit that made the Ephesus church. It was the Holy Spirit that birthed the Smyrnian church. The Holy Spirit that gave the Pergamos church and the Thyatirian church. And in the dark ages, it's the Holy Spirit that's built that bride. The elect is pulled out of all the organization systems down through the ages like that. There's an elected, a predestinated bride of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has called out the elect. And it's been the Holy Ghost in this age, that age, that age, that on to the top, the Holy Spirit. So we're in the very top, in the very image of Christ, the fullness of Christ. And he says in the token that the token, the very literal life of Christ, could not come until the evening time, this day. And now, as in the individuals, these virtues and things, our knowledge and temperance is added to our faith. And when the capstone comes, the Holy Spirit cements it together. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so short today. It's because those virtues have got to be in you, and then God will cap you. That's why it's so short. And so I don't want us to be mixed up in what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is in this day, because that's what he says. That's what the messenger says. It's not just here, it's other places in the message. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established in the scripture. So now, he says in the token, he says the token is a sign that the purchase has been made and been accepted. Now you can't get the token from the railroad fare until you pay the price. And the only way you're going to pay the price is pay it. That's right. What? Believe it, accept it. So you not just believe it, you accept it. And he says the token must be applied. So what you see in the message, what you hear in the message, it's got to be applied to your life. If they did not apply the token to the doorpost, didn't matter what they believed about the instructions, if they didn't apply it, then they died. They were destroyed. Full obedience to the whole word of God will entitle you to the token. So God is trying to bring you to full obedience, to full submission to God, right? Not forced, but on your own. Because you love him, you want to be whatever he wants you to be. Full, complete obedience puts you in the word. One, you believe it every bit and all of it's in you and you watch it working through you. I'm going to hit a few things, just some nuggets to just sink it into your heart. And then if you need to study it, go through it again. Go ahead and do so on time away from here. He says, then when you and the word becomes one, every promise, glory to God, every promise is yours. It obeys you. Then you want to watch what you want to do. You wouldn't put your hand in a fire just to say, see me do it. See, he's trying to get you the character. So that you can have power. Because he knows when he gives you power and you have that character, you'll be able to handle it. Amen. You won't speak when you're not supposed to speak. You won't do things when you're not, you'll be totally under control. Right? But you see, you've got to be molded in that character
through the stature of a perfect man, and then God will give you that because he trusts you with it. He knows he can trust you with it. He said, you wouldn't put your hand in the fire just to say, see me, do it. Oh, no. See? But if there's something in that fire, I got to reach for it. It'll obey me. See? That's right. See, you want to watch what you're doing. And so you become autonomous in a way. When I say autonomous is, you know, you're not always going back and forth. You have the same mind as Christ. You know, you're not operating on your own, but you have the same mind as Christ, but you're walking and doing things and making the same decisions as Christ would. He brings that back to when Joshua says, son, stand still. He said he had need of it, and God was with him, and he made that decision and said, son, stand still, because he and the Word were one. He says, that's the reason the Holy Spirit sparingly give out, you see. It's to whosoever will. But he knows that not everyone will go and want to embrace it all the way. You see, that's why we've got to shake off the spirits that are around us and embrace Christ and move all those things out. He says, okay, let me get to this. Man, time is going. He says, believe for safety, then apply. Believe for it. Here is what you want to believe for. See, you want your own safety. You believe for your safety, and then apply the token for the whole family. So you've got to have it yourself. I know you're worried about your family, but you've got to have this first. Once you have this, the power of God is within you. The power of God is on you. He's going to say something here. I want you to hear. Claim it for the whole family. How can I do that? Claim it. If it worked on you, then you and the Word becomes one. Amen. See, it works for both of you. Now, I don't want you to brush this off, because you've got to believe it, what he's saying. If you believe it, embrace it, and let it become a part of your thoughts and your heart. Don't just say that, I know that I got to apply the token. Believe it. Embrace it. Let it become a part, and it will happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like Rahab did, she applied the token to her father. She applied it to her mother. She applied it to her brothers and sisters and got them all in. You apply it, say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. You've got to speak in confidence, because you know you have the token. Do you understand? You must be 100% sure you have the token. Then you can go after them. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit that lives within me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me. He'll do it. That's what they did in Egypt. Before the death angel struck, they brought their family under the token. That's what they did in Jericho. Rahab did. Believe on the messenger of the hour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul speaking. Thy and thy house shall be saved. Believe for your house. He says, I'm trying to skip down. He says, believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Amen. Then what do you do when you apply it to your house? Move all the trash out. Move the television out. Move the ungodly influences out. Move the ungodly clothes out. All those different things. He says, move that all out. Get all the short skirts and the shorts and the cards and the cigarettes and televisions and whatever more, and kick them out the door. The token will be in control of this house. Yes, sir, take it all out in the dances and parties and rock and roll and old vulgar newspapers and the stuff that's of the world. Kick it out of the door, saying, we're cleaning out this place here. Remember the streams that came down, the Holy Ghost had to move the trash out. Only after the trash is out can God take control. Do you understand? We can go back to the story of Achan. We won't go into that, but you can stink on that. You know what Joshua said before crossing over. He said, wash your clothes. Come down at your wives and so forth. Get ready. Get ready. Apply it. Believe it. Clean up. Let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. You don't have to speak many times. You just live that life. And if you have the token, it'll speak to them. Amen. See it in you. That's right. It'll take effect. You've got to believe it's going to take effect. Amen. Without you doing anything, let God do it. Amen. He says, then apply the token in prayer and with consideration, with believing, apply it with such love and so forth till you know it's going to take place. That's all. Apply it in confidence. Believing it's going to help. When you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe that it's going to help. Just stand there and say, Lord, I've claimed them. They're mine. I'm getting ready. I'm getting them for you, Lord. Apply it and create that atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it. You see, they'll fall right into that. Just like a Holy Ghost man and a wife that believes that he is following the Lord Jesus Christ, she just falls right into that and submits right to that man because he's following Christ. You are, if you got the token, you create a spirit around you, a power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. See, that's it. I'm going to bring this example, this testimony that Brother Brennan brings up here. Because remember the power of the spoken word. Remember that came with the revelation of Christ. In looking away to Jesus, I have it right here, but he said the third pull is here. That was in 1963. He said the third, Christ is here. In the seals, he says that angel that was coming down in Revelation chapter 10 came down on this earth at the time of the seventh angel's message. Do you all remember that? It's in the seals. You read it there. If you want to ask me where that quote is, I can give it to you. But it's on. So the third pull was here. Christ was already on the earth. And he was showing the vindication of that through the spoken word. So now I want you to see an aspect of Christ, and I only have a few minutes here. But in the message, standing in the gap, I'm going to have to paraphrase here. Brother Branham brings this message about how Moses stood in the breach for the people, right? In the gainsaying of Korah, when Korah and Dathan were challenging him, then when they were challenging him, God was going to destroy all those people. But Moses stood as Christ, and he stood in the breach, and he says, no, Lord, do not destroy them. And you see that heart of Christ in Moses different times, right? You've seen that heart of Christ in Abraham as an intercessor. Remember, Christ is on the throne intercessing for us right now, right? And so if we are in the image of Christ, we will take on that spirit of intercessory for our brothers and sisters. And so, you know that when Brother Branham, he had that problem with his wife, you know, the tumor. And he brings it back to the same idea with what was happening with Miriam when she received leprosy. She said something wrong, and God put the leprosy upon her. Mita, she was a good wife, but she said something wrong, and God put that tumor thing on her, right? But you look at the prophet's prayer when he was praying to the Lord, because he was in a fix, and he was praying out in desperation, if you can remember. But he says, you know, he prays, he says, my wife is having this, oh Lord. You know, and it could go malignant. And then yet the people want me to come back, you know, for Christmas time. And Lord, let it not be malignant. And he just begins to talk about his wife and how she served the Lord all those years, been a good wife. You know, even though many wives would have gotten upset with him just coming back from a meeting, going hunting, and all those different things. She's always had his clothes ready. She was a great wife, and he was pleading for her, right? And so as he was pleading for her, that mercy of God came down. And they said, stand up. And he says, whatever you say, that's the way it'll be. And so he says, before the doctor touches my wife's tumor, it'll be gone. And that's exactly what happened. Why? Because he was standing as an intercessor with the love of Christ in his heart, he was bringing the token. Amen. He was presenting the token. And the spoken word came forth and took away that tumor. I'm getting the time warning. I have one. It's only going to take 1 minute to talk about this by God's grace. In the message, and only believe, and also message of grace, Brother Branham talks about how Hattie Wright, we know the story. She said the right thing. And then God gave the salvation of her two boys. Right? And so we know that salvation is something that we choose on our own, right? But God gives a measure of grace because, you know, even though we can choose on our own, He's given this measure of grace to save our loved ones and bring them to Christ. And so she, thinking eternal, and God, I believe, knew it, but she said, I want the salvation of my two boys. They came right down into her lap and started repenting. And they were saved right there, right? And a brother who had been praying, his name was Ed Dalton. He has 9 or 12 children. And he'd been praying earnestly for his children, for them to be saved. And they were rebellious. They were teenagers. And so he was praying for them. He'd been praying for them, I believe, many years and different things. And so then he saw what happened to Hattie Wright. And I don't know what happened, but I believe that encouraged his faith. And he saw that, and something in his heart was yearning, I believe. And Brother Branham turned around and says, ask what you will. And he says, I want the salvation of my children. And God gave every single one of them. Amen. Brothers and sisters, He's already spoken it. We have got to believe it. If we want our loved ones in, we've got to believe what He's saying. And apply our faith to it, embrace it, and have the token. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Your power, O Father, and Your mercy and grace, O Lord, is beyond our thinking. It's so supernatural, O Lord Jesus. We don't understand it, but You've given us things to believe on and then hold to, O Lord Jesus. Lord, let us shake off, O Father, this age and move on to perfection. Move on to Christ, O Lord Jesus. Lord, that Your will be fulfilled and that Your glory, You receive glory, O Father. Lord Jesus, we're incapable within ourselves, O Lord, but the more we yield ourselves to You, the more power that You are able to work through our lives, O Lord Jesus, and to affect those who need salvation, O Lord. Help us, Your Father, in this hour that we're in. Give us more grace, O Lord. Help us to yield ourselves, O Lord, and steer clear and be able to defeat the enemy every time, under any circumstance, by Your word, O Father, that You've given to us. Lord, Lord Jesus, guide us, O Lord. Lord, the service, the song service and the preaching, O Father, it's in Your hands, O Lord. We commit it all to You. O Father, we commit all of our lives to You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.